This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Halnan, one of the employee owners of Tab. Comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And two lines open for you, 860-522-9842 is the number. And yes, we were off past couple weekends there. I had a Saturday rental for our pilgrimage to the beaches of the Outer Banks. And unfortunately, I was driving during the show. It's a long ride, 500 miles each way. So we're back to help you out. And let's go right back to the calls here. We were talking to, I think it was Jim, right? Hey, Jim, how are you?
Hey, hi, Eric. Thank you.
So we, before we go into the third question, let's start working on the first and second question. The Wi-Fi issue on your wife's phone. So Dennis and I puzzled a little bit while we were during the break here thinking about what your issue is and how you have to have her turn off the Wi-Fi in order for her to get on the internet. Our feeling is maybe she's not on the proper network. When she's logging into the Wi-Fi in your home, is it a condo association you're part of, or is it?
No, it's a single house. None of this happened until we got Frontier. I love Frontier more so than Cox, but I'm thinking about just getting another router and seeing if that solves the problem.
You could look at that. How old's her phone?
It's an iPhone 13.
Okay. It doesn't seem too old, right?
No, it's only a couple of years old.
And you're certain she's on your Wi-Fi. You're not on somebody else's.
No, where she's on ours. Yeah. So she can go to other websites. She could go to, Bagaro or something like that. And then she goes to the calendar and it says, please connect to the internet. But she can go to Amazon Works, all these other websites.
So it's
work.
The calendar app that's giving her trouble.
Well, yeah, but I have the same problem on my iPad. I sometimes it says, please connect to the internet. Like if I'm surfing and I want to go order something from like Home Depot, I'll go on there, get on Home Depot, I can search. But once I click on something to actually get that item, it says, please connect to the internet.
Okay, you know what it is then? So you're connecting. I think it's your lease time is so short that you're giving up your IP address. And I think you're on the right track that it's your firewall. And probably by changing your firewall, you would fix it by default by accident. I think if you go into your DHCP settings on your firewall, you may find that you're setting your IP leases to too short of a period of time. And what's happening is the phone is getting a lease to be on the network. And it's on the network for, let's say, an hour or two. And then when you try to use it on occasion, the phone is being dropped because the lease is only for a couple hours, and it says get back on the network. And then you do, right? And then it works again, correct?
Right. Yep. Yeah.
So I think it's a DHCP server issue where basically every device on a network gets an IP address, and a DHCP server hands that out, and that's your firewall. Your firewall has it in there and says, hey, okay, Jim, your Apple device is going to get this IP address. She's going to get that IP address. And you're only going to get it for a certain period of time, because imagine all the IP addresses that could come and go into an organization or a home. And so they don't want to give the lease out forever. They want to make that IP address available for the next device that walks in. Like if you invite me over for dinner, my phone's going to want to get online, right? And then I'm going to get a lease of an IP address. So you have to be careful with how many IP addresses you lease out. But in this case, I think you've gotten too short of a lease period, in my estimation.
So click on the DHCP and do what to it?
Go look at your lease times. See,
okay.
And or look at how many IPs you're even making available.
Right. It may not be giving out enough distinct numbers.
Believe it or not, with all this quote-unquote smart stuff on our networks,
you can eat up IP addresses very fast.
It's crazy. From humidifiers who want to, you know, be your friend, to, you know, your lighting systems, to whatever smart whatever, you're chewing up IP addresses, and you may just don't have enough.
Well, that's what I don't like about the Eero versus the Nighthawk, is that you can give priority with the Nighthawk to certain things on certain channels, and you can't do that with the Eero. It won't, you know, I tried getting into it to give our TV the priority, or the Apple TV priority, and there's no ability to do that. So I might just swap over back to the Nighthawk.
So priority is different than IP addresses.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
But if you give something the priority, it doesn't matter how many IP addresses there are, because that one gets priority.
Oh, really?
Right? I'm asking you.
So the answer to that question is no.
No, it doesn't get priority of assignment. It gets priority of traffic.
So think of it as the HOV lane on your highway, right? The priority is just getting the HOV lane.
Okay.
All right. And that means that other devices aren't going to impact it because you're safely on the HOV lane, right? So two different things there. Go look at your lease settings. Make sure you're handing out enough IP addresses to support all the devices on your network, and make sure your leases are long enough. What would you suggest for that?
I would make the lease like 48 hours. I mean, this is home.
Yeah.
48 hours, even 72 should be all right.
All right.
Okay. That may answer my third question. So last night, I have AirPlay. So I have my Sony, mm-hmm. Which has AirPlay on it, the stereo, hardwired right to an Ethernet cable. So outside listening to music, and it just shuts down, and I have to restart everything for it to work again. But it only lasts probably for a half an hour, if that, the AirPlay ability.
Hmm.
Do you think that's the same problem?
24-minute lease as opposed to 24-hour? I wonder.
It could be something stupid like
it
that.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, it sounds like your network is saying, no more network for you. Your firewall is saying, you've had enough. You've been connected for 30 minutes. It kind of feels that way, Jim, because it could be that. It seems like something wrong with your DHCP server.
Yeah, I think you've kind of nailed it by telling us that it's a wired device that's doing this too.
Right. Because it gets IPs the same way.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, so it would have to be something that both the Wi-Fi and wired devices share, and that would be DHCP settings in the router.
How old is that router, Jim?
It's 6 months old. I just got Frontier.
Oh, it came with the Frontier system?
It's one of those Amazon Eeros, E-E-R-O.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So they could have misconfigured it.
They could have.
Sounds like they did.
Yeah, and I assume that when Frontier put it in, they probably provisioned it for you.
Yeah, somebody made a mistake.
They were trying to be helpful.
Put it in minutes versus
minutes. He was like, here you go, sir. Have a nice day.
Yeah, they would have probably provisioned it. As soon as they plugged it in, it would get whatever settings they want. Yeah. Another thing to think about when it comes to Wi-Fi, though, maybe try different frequency. The Eero is going to be putting out 2.4 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz, and possibly a third frequency if it's a...
Yeah,
if it's
6 gigahertz.
Yeah, if it's if it has, you know, that capability. But see if your Wi-Fi devices operate better on a different frequency.
All right. Is it better to go on there with a PC, or can I just do it on my phone to
PC.
Get into the Euro?
Use the PC.
If it were me, I would use the PC, but I do know that a lot of modern new routers often are only managed from an app on a phone.
Yeah, if you have the app, fine.
Okay.
You might be cornered into doing that, yeah. Is what I'm getting at.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
All right, Jim, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Yeah. Make sure your DHCP is handing out enough IP addresses. So we got to step out for a quick break. We got Gene and Craig on the line. Two lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk. All this great music that Carolyn's playing reminds me of a concert I went and checked out on. It was Friday night, I think it was. We went to New London. And checked out the New London Big Band. Man, those guys are polished. I mean, they had Wayne Bergeron there, who was a trumpet player that anybody knows is pretty darn good. But that band was nice. That band knew what it was doing down there in New London. So I highly recommend if you want to check out some local jazz there. New London Big Band is pretty darn good. Let's go to I actually have to go to the longest here. We're going to go to Gene first Northwest Connecticut. She's got there for you. Go ahead, Gene. What do you got?
Yeah, I have a couple questions. One, I was wondering, I had let someone use my Wi-Fi on their phone, and I was wondering if there's a way to remove that device from my Wi-Fi.
Great question.
Yeah, it depends on your access point.
Right.
Some of them in the interface, they're is a way to get a list of devices that are connected. And some of them, in addition to just showing you the list, some of them offer a way to, boot them.
Well, so booting them is one thing. The other issue, have you changed your password?
No, that was my other question. Yeah. How do you do that? I don't know how to do that.
You'll have to get into the interface for it. Can I ask what the manufacturer of it is?
The password for my router?
No. The manufacturer for the router.
It's the Linksys.
Okay.
All right. We can provide you some instructions for, getting into a Linksys router.
Yeah.
You'll have to have the credentials for it.
And if you've never changed them, the credentials are admin and blank.
Yeah.
No, we had changed it when we set it up, but it was so difficult for us to do that.
Well, you did it, though.
In and change it.
You did it though. So I guess the question is this. I guess I should ask you, why are you doing this to this person? Is it like you're mad at them, you don't want them accessing your network, you're worried about security?
Yeah, security.
Okay. So booting them doesn't do a whole lot because they have your Wi-Fi password and they can just reconnect again.
Yeah.
You could mark them as a address that you'd want to keep off because some Linksys is allowed to block them.
Yes, you can block that MAC address is what it uses to identify them.
Yeah, so you wouldn't have to change everything else just to do that. So when you get into the Linksys, and we'll send some instructions to have you look at that. You could,
okay.
But the thing is, you're going to have to try to find their device. That might be easier said than done. Some of them are not going to say Bob's iPhone. It's going to be a MAC address that you're going to go, I don't know if that's the one.
It'll be a MAC address and usually some kind of a host name.
Yeah.
And the host name is going to be what gives you the clue as to what it is, but it might still not be clear.
It might just say Apple, whatever.
Yeah.
So you may not be able to actually find it. The only true way to prevent reaccessing your system is by changing the password
to the router.
Yep. Not the password to the router itself. But the Wi-Fi passwords. If you change those, then nobody will be able to get in except for those who know the password.
Okay, and I do that how?
Well, log into the Linksys device, and it's going to have you go to the Wi-Fi settings where you'll have the 2.4 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz frequencies, and those SSIDs are going to ask for a passphrase. You're going to change that passphrase. Instead of Gene's Wi-Fi, you're going to call it Gene's lockdown Wi-Fi. And it's different, something else. Does that make sense?
What did you call it?
You're going to change the password on those two SSIDs. So when you walk into your home, there's a Wi-Fi network. If I was going to ask you how to get on the Wi-Fi, what would you tell me?
I would give you my password.
For the broadcast that says what? Is it called Linksys? Is it called what? Like if I went in there and looked on my phone, what does your network look like? What's the name?
Oh, it has a name.
Yeah, what's the name? It's okay to tell me. This is not any kind of trick.
Wemu.
Wemu?
Yeah.
Okay. So you need to change. If you go into the Linksys configuration and look at the Wemu SSID, you're going to change that passphrase. That's all you're going to do. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
You'll put that online for me?
We'll put the instructions there, but it won't have Wemu specifically.
Oh, I know that.
It won't be that customized step-by-step for you, Jean.
That's okay. I'll try it, though.
All right. Good luck.
Well, thank you very much for your help. We enjoy your show.
Our pleasure.
Welcome back. I'm glad you had a nice vacation.
Yeah, it was a... Yeah. It was a vacation, all right. I'm glad I'm back.
Good.
So, all right.
Enjoy your day.
Thank you. All right, bye-bye. All right, let's go on to Craig.
Thank you so much for taking my phone call.
Sure, what's going on, Craig?
I'm literally and figuratively sick. I consider myself fairly computer savvy. I warn my friends about hacks. I got hacked really bad.
All right.
What happened was, you know, I don't do clickbait. You know, if on my email it says, okay, something from Microsoft or something from Amazon, we need to update your account.
Right.
And, you know, I see that it's coming from Jane Doe from gmail.com.
Right.
It's immediately gone.
Right.
I was searching for a new grill grate.
A new grill grate.
A new grill grate.
All right.
I use DuckDuckGo.
Sure.
And so I was, you know, looking for a grill grate, and all of a sudden, a splash screen came on from McAfee that said, "I have been infected."
Okay.
And immediately, a splash screen came up from Microsoft. Mm-hmm. And the only way I say that is it looked really true.
All right. Did it say to call the phone number?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you called the number.
Yes, I did.
All right. So don't do that, Craig.
Gee, thanks a lot for making me feel better.
Sorry.
So I did.
Yeah.
And it sounded really good. You know, this woman, the young woman picked up, you know, like a receptionist.
Yep.
She said, okay, we understand. We're going to send you to, jeepers, creepers, what do they call it?
Help desk.
Fraud.
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 Nice.
And
the fraud people sending you to fraud. That's ironic. All right, go ahead.
So everything sounded up and up. Once again, I'm sick because I'm good at this. You know?
I hear you.
And so I was speaking to this gentleman.
Yeah.
He actually brought on, he says, there's going to be a 10-second hold. I'm bringing someone on from the FBI because we think we have them. And last week, you know, I do a lot of business with this company, healthcare company that got hacked.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to go back to like 40 years ago doing everything by hand.
Yes. Progress.
And so, you know, I kind of figured that since I did so much business with them, okay, these guys are for real.
Mm. Yeah, but that you convoluted that in your mind, though, right? I mean, you're warning on the 800 thing had nothing to do with that.
I'm sorry, say that.
You kind of put those together in your mind. I mean, the hack that happened in ECHN has nothing to do with that splash screen that said you had a Microsoft issue. That had nothing to do with it.
But I don't know because I do so much business with ECHN.
That doesn't matter. That splash screen, that phone number, that Microsoft phone number fraud is probably a decade old now. People would be getting calls from Microsoft saying their computer is hacked, and people would let them in. So you happen to get a splash screen. So that's awful that you're talking to these people and they're acting like they're the good guys, but they are the bad guys.
That is correct.
So you let them.
There were some good things that they actually told me that made me think that these guys are for real.
They're not. They're just pointing out typical Microsoft bugs and errors that if you look at anybody's computer, it will show them.
Mm. You know, once again, this wasn't an email. It was a
a splash screen.
Not only that, but I have my volume turned all the way down.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this lady was yelling at me.
Right.
Saying, do not turn off your computer.
Right. That's
I'm sure you guys have heard this a million times.
We have.
I lost 5 figures.
You paid them that much money?
And what they did was they told me, once again, I think I'm talking with the FBI and Microsoft, and they told me to get $15,000 cash out of my checking account and bring it to this gas station.
Oh my goodness!
In Middletown.
Did you talk to the actual police and FBI about this? I hope.
Yes.
Okay. Good.
I put in a immediately because they said they were gonna.
Hey, Craig, we're running out of time. Can you hold and continue with this after the break?
Of course.
All right.
Yeah. Please.
Because you're gonna help a lot of other people with this story.
Yeah.
We're gonna take a quick break here with Craig and hear more of what happened. And Elaine and John, hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
All right, we are back. And we're talking to Craig, who has got kind of a harrowing story about... Hey, Craig, how are you?
It gets better.
It gets better in a good way or a bad way?
No.
Oh, so
in a bad way.
So real quick, just so people who might be joining us now, so Craig got that Microsoft pop-up on his screen. It said, call this number, you've been hacked. He did, and ended up where we left off last was where he had $15,000 in cash at a gas station in Middletown that he handed over to bad guys. And where does it get... worse than that?
Once again, I thought I was dealing with the up and up, considering, you know, this was not one person. This was an organization.
Yes.
Like I said, supposedly FBI. So they said, we need to act on this quick. What we're going to do, Craig, is we're going to put $15,000 in your checking account. You cash a check, get the cash, and bring it to the Bitcoin machine in Middletown.
Wow.
So I did that, thinking I was doing a good thing. And so when I got to the gas station, they were closed. There was a power problem. Their internet was down.
Lucky and, you.
You know, whoa.
And so I'm like, geez, you know, something is kind of wrong here.
Right.
So I did what they told me to do.
Okay.
You know, they opened up about 10 minutes after I got there. You know, I went across the street, got something to eat. And so it was all in, there were a few hundreds, a few fifties, and the rest were $20 bills. I can't tell you how big this stack was. Now, when I went to my bank, they warned me. They said, what are you doing with this cash?
Right.
And I was advised by the guys who were in my pocket on my phone. They said, tell me you're buying a used car.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's what I told the banker.
Yeah.
And this was 5 of 4, and they closed at 4. They said, we can't give you the cash. I said, it's 5 of 4. Who else is going to take this much cash? So anyways. Fast forward, I'm in this, you know, just feeding this money into this Bitcoin
machine. Yeah.
And so I went home,
yep,
and I checked the balance on my bank account.
Yep.
I was short $14,900 because that's all they wanted me to put in.
Mm-hmm.
So, gee, I got a $100 bill in my pocket. And I saw on the machine that the maximum you can put in it is $15,000.
Okay.
So it's like, okay, this is a great thing. I'm going to end up with $100 in my pocket for being such a nice guy. So when I got home, I checked my balance.
Mm-hmm.
And they never, there was no money ever put in my account. So then I immediately got on the phone with all my financial people, you know, my 401k, you know what I'm talking about, everybody that has any money.
Yeah.
And I had them put a freeze on it. And they did, and, you know, and hopefully it's actually still good. I'll find out on Monday.
Oh, gosh, you just did this?
Yes.
Like this past week?
Yes.
Oh, Craig.
You have no idea. Everything seemed on the up and up. They got me.
All right.
Like I said, I'm pretty savvy on this. So, they got me.
Right.
So where it stands right now is I was told to bring my, keep my, shut down my computer, take out, the plug on the computer, take out the plug on the wall. And then I was advised to bring it to, one of the, big box stores. But I found a local guy that supposedly has a good reputation.
Okay.
And I immediately brought it over to him.
Yeah.
And he was telling me, I plugged my computer into his. He says, this is a really nice computer.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely problems here.
Mm-hmm.
So he told me, what it was going to cost to have it fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And he started out with a number, how much it was going to cost me.
Yeah.
And then I said, I can't do this. Now I have no money left. And so he brought the price down.
Yeah.
And he says, okay, if you give me cash, I will fix your computer for this amount of money.
All right.
And I said, I can buy a new computer. I can buy a new laptop for more.
Oh, boy. So now you got another person who's taking advantage of you as well.
Well, this is why I'm calling.
Yeah.
He has my laptop and he wants cash. He's local. He was giving them all his credentials, and one of the credentials was my bank. So
he gave your bank as a credential?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Whatever. So this is getting weird, Greg. Basically, you had some double bad luck going on here. Your computer, those little warnings that came up are called browser hijacks. They can come because you were simply surfing the internet for your grate, right? Your metal grate for your grill.
Correct.
And you ended up on a website. The website could have been compromised, and or Dennis and I were talking, maybe it was an ad somewhere that injected that little pop-up for you that got you down this crazy road. Okay. This is not even that sophisticated. Now, they were on your computer, right? So the people who you called, I'm sure you let them in your machine, right?
I gave them everything.
You gave them access to your computer?
I gave them access.
Okay.
And they were running scans, and they actually brought me to that I had a Trojan horse.
Yeah, no, it's all baloney. It's all bogus. All that's bogus. Yeah, that's all fake stuff.
I had that black screen up, which, usually means like somehow that's my BIOS.
Yeah.
I stay away from a black screen, but I gave them access.
Okay, so they probably did load a lots of junk on your machine.
They did.
They couldn't. So just so you know, it doesn't take a lot of effort, really, for an IT guy to run a scan like Malwarebytes to possibly clean this thing off. It shouldn't cost as much as a computer, is what you're telling us, to do that for you. Not to mention the fact that you were harmed this way. I would tell you that if you truly want to talk to the folks at the FBI, which you probably should consider, $15,000 is no small sum. I would call the New Haven crime FBI folks at the cybercrime division down there of the FBI and tell them this story. And they're going to want to look at your computer to see what the bad guys put on there. But you fell victim to, if this is all true, which I have no reason to believe it's not, you fell victim to a pretty sophisticated group. And we've brought this up before. The bad guys you talk to probably have a better health plan than you. They probably have a better cafeteria. They probably get Christmas off. They are literally companies outside of our jurisdiction for the FBI to do anything about, who are perpetrating these scams against us. And they do sound pretty convincing, right? So, obviously.
I saw where the phone call was coming from, and it was in Washington. And I know that...
Yeah, but you can. I can make any IP. I can make any phone number look like it's coming from anywhere.
Well, they could get my phone number and make these scam calls looking like it's my phone number.
Yeah, that's the problem with voiceover IP. That's the problem with SIP services. There's all sorts of problems that we need to correct for IT. This shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah.
But it is.
I filed a police report.
Good.
He really didn't understand.
The cops don't. What was going on. A lot of them don't.
They don't. Okay?
But at least I did that. And, you know, I did get in touch with all my financial institutions.
Okay.
But right now I'm in limbo.
Correct. So I would tell you to call the FBI in New Haven, the cybercrime division. We can put a link up on our you can't get there right now. But we'll put a link up anyways.
I do have another laptop that was never powered up.
Good.
During this whole fiasco. It was plugged in, but it was never powered up.
Yeah.
It's older.
Yeah.
8.1.
Okay.
But anyways, I was told that I do have access to this, to my other computer.
Good.
And that I will be safe.
Yeah. Again, all you had was a browser hijack that gave you that phone number. So call the FBI down there in New Haven and see if they can help you with this. You shouldn't be paying an arm and a leg to have some computer shop clean up your machine. It shouldn't be something like that. I mean, your story is so harrowing that they might are acting like it's a bigger deal than it is.
What am I going to do?
I would tell you to pick up that laptop and take it back, and maybe have the FBI look at it, frankly.
Yeah, I wouldn't let anybody do anything with it until the FBI has seen it.
Yeah.
Pay the $560 cash?
No.
No.
And pick up my computer?
That's what he says he owes you? You owe him?
No. I owe him $560.
Oh, my gosh.
To fix my computer.
You may want to also talk to the Connecticut Consumer Protection Department about that.
Yeah.
Because number one, if he's asking for cash, then of course there's no sales tax happening. There's all sorts of baloney going on there. Craig, I don't know. You've come across some pretty bad characters, it sounds like, and I'm sorry that's happened to you, but $560 to look for malware on a computer is highway robbery.
He was very convincing.
They all seem to be, huh?
But once again, cash. I don't want to give cash anymore.
No.
And I actually, if I do give him cash, I want my friend who works for Siemens and, you know, same kind of thing. I want to bring him in with me.
You should. Bring a friend. That's a good idea. But that's too much money to do what he did. And you should. Yeah. Craig, your story is something that people will learn from. I'm sorry.
No matter how savvy you think you are, you're not.
Fair enough.
These guys are so sophisticated.
Yep.
There was no foreign accent, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, but even the foreign accent even sometimes gives it credibility.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I know.
I assumed, especially the guy that said he was from the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
He sounded so sophisticated.
Right.
And I got duped, and I'm screwed.
I hear you.
And the only way I can get any of this money back is they say that the gas station, they get a portion of what I put in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I'm sure is I'm probably going to get maybe $1,000 back.
Probably less than that.
I don't know. That's why I'm calling. I'm looking for your advice, please.
Well, as far as what happened to you, you know, I don't have any advice as far as how to get your $15,000 back. All I can tell you going, what you can do going forward and have you be show as an example for other folks is to try to put in web defense technology so you wouldn't have received that message in the first place. That's why we recommend OpenDNS so much. And you're dealing with calling the authorities, which would be the actual FBI, to get real advice on how to possibly get anything back if you can. But you voluntarily did what they said. I don't know how those scams work. Yeah. And I don't think FDIC insurance does anything for that because you robbed yourself.
That's why I feel sick.
Yeah. So I wish I could give you any more advice than that, Craig, but it's a sad, awful story. And and the fact that you called and want to talk about it is going to help a lot of people from being protected by it. Because like you said, you find yourself to be a savvy person. To be sitting there with a stack of 20s at a machine in Middletown, putting that money in there is had to run through your head that this is bizarre.
I'm literally sick right now.
Yeah.
But the other thing was that, you know, these guys seem to be so good. And I said, do I need a VPN?
Mm.
And they said, I don't care what you have.
Mm. Yeah.
We can get through a VPN.
Well, I wouldn't. Don't take anything they said as advice at all. They're just scammers.
Well, the guy that I just gave my computer to.
Oh.
He said.
You let him in. So, Craig, when you call the number and let them in, nothing in the planet's going to stop them. You let them in. So, you know, I could have the best security system on my house with, like, you know, dead bolts and sirens and alarms and all that stuff. But the moment the guy says, "Hey, what's your code to turn off your security system and open that deadbolt?" and I let him in. What am I going to do? Right. So once you let him in, nothing you had would have protected you. You let him in.
Correct.
That's
and
the problem.
That, once again, that's why I'm so sick.
Yeah.
About this, you know, I'm a fixed income.
Yep.
And, you know, this is,
it's a thing.
I can't afford that. I'm sorry to get into that.
No, I understand.
But, you know, they told me some things that actually made sense.
I understand. Call the New Haven group. Call the FBI in New Haven, and they probably will have much more advice than I can even think of.
Yeah,
I don't pay for McAfee, but that's what came up on my.
I know.
And I'm sorry. Please let other callers in.
Yeah.
Craig, your
story was well worth.
You're really going to help a lot of people.
Yeah,
you really are.
I hope so.
Yeah. All right, Craig.
You know, even though. All right. Hey, thanks a lot for taking my call.
Yeah, and stay in touch. Let us know what happens if you can.
Yeah, we want to know.
So, am I going to go pick up that computer or not?
Well, that's too much. So I think you need to talk to somebody.
Money. What I would do is I would talk to the FBI first.
Yeah, and then bring a friend.
And bring a friend with you. Also, maybe the FBI is going to want to talk to that computer guy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And that might change the price, by the way.
Yeah.
All right.
It would at least give you some leverage.
It will give you a ton of leverage because that's ridiculous. Whatever. I mean,
I'm sorry. One more question. The fact that I have this other laptop that they were kind of talking to each other, but it was off and unplugged and everything.
No, it's safe.
It's fine.
Happened,
it's safe.
Is so the other computer's fine.
It
so
is.
I actually do. I can talk to people.
Yep, you can.
Hey. Hey, once again, you guys, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your help, and thanks for your show.
All right.
Listen every Saturday.
All right, Craig. Well, good luck, sir. Let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
I will. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Bye. Bye-bye. Wow. We've heard some pretty bad stories about hacking.
But yeah. That's it.
And all that, and again, we'll use the word hack. I mean, he got a browser pop-up that said, you're infected, call this number. It's a Microsoft tech support scam.
Yeah.
And it's been around for a very long time. My mom got compromised by it. She gave the bad guys $350. So she called them rather than me. So they become very, you know, believable. And that's just awful. So again, to prevent it from happening to you, here's what you need to do, right? You want to make sure you have Windows Defender running as your antivirus. You want to have OpenDNS running as your spam filter. That'll reduce the chances, reduce them.
Yes.
Of getting a pop-up like that on your screen. And then that's really, I mean, again, try to think of me when you, when somebody's asking you for access to something like a password. When I ask people what their password is, that's, I do it so that you think of, oh, come on, Eric's trying to trick him into giving the password. Don't trust anybody on the internet. I don't know what else to tell you either. It's just a sad story. So we'll take another couple calls here if we can before the top of the hour. Gotcha. And we're posting our links over at computertalkwithtab.com.
We did.
Are they showing up? We're seeing Gene said they're not showing up. Maybe the same
they
issue as last
aren't
time.
Right now.
Same problem as last time then.
Yeah, but they will show up. I'm not exactly sure when, but they're delayed and I don't know why.
So there's something going on with the site on those links, but they will show up. They showed up and we didn't even do anything to make it happen last time.
Right.
All right, let's go quickly to John and Cromwell real quick here. Do we have enough time? Not really. No, she's shaking her head. Well, John and Elaine, we're going to have to not get to you this time because we're coming up too close to the top of the hour. Call us next Saturday. Sorry for having you on hold so long, but I couldn't not listen to Craig.
It was an important thing for people to hear.
Yeah. And you compile it back to the whole ECHN thing that we're all dealing with, right? The whole entire hospital system got compromised and ransomed, right?
Yeah.
Again, you got to put the proper protections in so that people can't do that to your hospital system. They're not expensive solutions that have to be put in place to do it. I'm just so shocked by poor Craig's story.
Yeah.
What a way to come back.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Just when we think all the computer problems are solved. We're going to be here next Saturday, so feel free to give us a ring then. Everything has been posted. We'll get over to computertalkwithtab.com, we promise.
We'll see it eventually.
Yeah, if you go to our Facebook page, they are all there. All the links are there. Mike G posted all that. If you follow us on Twitter or X or whatever it's called, over at Tab Computer Assist, it will get into your news feed. Thank you, Mike, for doing that. Thank you, Carolyn, for producing.
And we want you to be geeks, too.
See you guys next Saturday.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.